Acts chapter 10. I'm entitling the message, taking the message from the words found in verse 43. Acts 10:43. To him, that is to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge, sovereign judge, to him give all the prophets witness. We are witnesses of his majesty, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive, done deal, shall receive all your sin gone, remitted. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. So the title I'm going to use for the message is, to him give all the prophets witness. And we know that all the prophets, minor prophets, major prophets, all the Old Testament scriptures, Moses wrote of him, Abraham believed him, Isaiah wrote of him, Jeremiah declared he is the Lord, our righteousness. All the prophets of the past and the preachers of this day all point sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his witnesses. To him give all the prophets witness. Now, several times in these verses we read this word witness. Look at verse 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in Judah, the land of the Jews, Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, him God raised up. We are witnesses. Verse 41, not to all people, but unto witnesses, chosen, witnesses, chosen. 13 times in the book of Acts, we read this word witness or witnesses. Turn back to chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, where we started. Remember Acts chapter 1. The Lord said in verse 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You see that? Unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm glad he included that, because that includes Zebulun. Wherever Zebulun, Kentucky is, that's the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm glad he included that. Notice in Acts chapter 1, verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him give all the prophets witness, beginning with Moses, that first gospel promised the woman's seed that would crush the serpent's head. And we know that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We know from reading the Word of God how that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and the third day he was raised again according to the Scriptures, according to the holy writings given of God. Now, last week, Peter had arrived at the house of Cornelius in verse 33. And Cornelius declared, we're all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Now, the gospel that we preach are the things that God has commanded us to declare. Last week, we brought the message from verse 33 down through verse 38, using for a title, preaching peace. Preaching peace, or declaring peace with God. Peace by Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. We only have peace with God, not based upon the deeds of the law. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. We only have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ in him crucified. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need peace with God? Scripture says that God's angry with the wicked every day. I need to be reconciled unto God. We only can be reconciled and justified before God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord of peace. He is Prince of peace. And he is Lord of all. That was point number one, I think, last week. Going on, verse 37 and following, verse 38, the word, I say, you know, was published. This word was published. It was declared throughout all Judea and in Galilee. John came preaching, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And they declared, John did and others, how God anointed, God blessed the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Christ of God. That's what the word Christ means. He's anointed in all of his office as prophet, priest, and king. We talked about that last week. He's anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure as a God-man mediator. God gave him all power in heaven and in earth that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to him. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one sent of God in the fullness of time. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. He went about doing good. He was doing the will of the Father. He said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." He's the only one who could do anything good because we're not good. I've never done and you have never done anything good. Never. Because the scriptures declare there is none good, no, not one. The good we have is in Christ. He's our righteousness. He went about doing good. He healed all that needed healing. He healed all that were demon-possessed. I love what it says of that man, that wild man, that crazy man, running naked in the tombs. No one could tame him. He broke the chains till he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he was broken. He was clothed and sitting in his right man at the feet of Christ, loving him, believing him, "Lord, I want to follow you." He said, "You go home and tell how great things I've done for you." He was a witness. What was he a witness to? How God saved him by his grace. Verse 39 now. We are witnesses. We are witnesses. Peter declared that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. All that were oppressed of the devil. All who were oppressed with sin. He healed all those who had need of healing. The Lord never turned a mercy beggar away, then nor now. You need mercy? Well, he has a throne. He sits on a throne of mercy. Call upon his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And verse 39, we begin, and we are witnesses of all things which he did. Now, he did a lot. One place, and I think it's in the book of John, if it says, if all the things he did were written and recorded in a book, the world itself could not contain it. I mean, we have just the tip of the iceberg of all that he did. But imagine these men were witnesses living with him. They were eyewitnesses. We've seen him, our hands have handled him, the word of life. We've seen his majesty, his glory. We saw him raise the dead. Lazarus, come forth. We saw him speak to the cripple, and they went leaping and praising God with joy. We've heard him and we've seen him cleanse the leper. The leper came and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." He said, "I will, be thou clean." And he was cleansed from his leprosy. We are witnesses of all things that he did. Now, salvation is based upon not what you do. Salvation is based upon what he has done for us. Night and day difference. True gospel and a false one. Brother Scott Richardson used to have that saying that went like this. We preach the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are witnesses of all things that he did. He went about doing good. He accomplished salvation for us. He honored the law of God for us. Obeyed every precept of God's law. He said, "I didn't come to destroy it. I came to honor the law of God and died under the curse of that law." Satisfied every precept and died under the penalty of it. That's what it says next. Whom they slew and hanged on a tree. They killed him. Peter said, you killed the Prince of Life. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel of God, you have taken of my wicked hands, have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. Our Lord laid down His life for us. You remember He said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life. No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down. The Lord gave Himself for our sin. They crucified Him. They hanged Him on a tree. Why? Because the Scripture must be fulfilled. He must die for our sin according to the Scripture. Now, if you want to turn to Galatians chapter 3, you can. If not, I'll just read it to you. Most of you are familiar with this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13, being made sin for us, guilty because of our sin being laid upon Him. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Those old Jews, they would stone a man and then they would hang him on a tree to show that he was cursed of God. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin according to the Scriptures. And Peter said, we are witnesses. We are witnesses of these things. Now, what is a witness? Sometimes you get a summons in the mail to be a witness in a certain jury trial. And you go to that jury pool and they'll ask you this question and that question, all the other questions. And you will sit there and listen to those who will tell and give, who are summoned before the court, before the judge, to be a witness of what they've seen, what they have heard. And they put their hand on the Bible and they raise their hand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, so help you God? You better tell the truth. Well, they have this thing called perjury. Lying under oath. And they'll judge, take you away. They find out that you lied on the witness stand. Now, a witness is one who tells what he knows to be true. Somebody who gives true evidence after seeing or hearing something is able to declare it truthfully. Now, it's pretty hard to tell what you haven't seen, and it's pretty hard to declare what you don't know. They would call that a false witness. These apostles were true witnesses who've seen Him, who've heard Him, who've handled the words of life. We've seen Him. We've been with Him. We've seen everything He has done. We are witnesses of His death. They took His dead body down from a tree and they laid Him in a tomb because He was dead. Sin demands death. Peter said this in his epistle, 2 Peter 1. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses to His majesty. They seen Him. These 12 apostles were chosen of God. It says there, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen. You remember the Lord said, you didn't choose me, I've chosen you. These 12 men, sinners chosen by the grace of God to live with Him for 3.5 years in His public ministry, who had the privilege to see the Lord do many mighty, wonderful miracles of God's grace. This was real. This was true. This actually happened. The Lord declared Himself to be everything that He said He was by these many mighty miracles. The Lord said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He said, now this is fulfilled in your ears. And we are witnesses of all that He said and all that He did. Turn over here to Matthew chapter 11 and let's read about it. Matthew chapter 11. You turn there and let me read you something here if I can find it in Matthew chapter 4. The Lord Jesus Christ went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. Now, you've got Matthew chapter 11, but look at verse 1. It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Matthew 11, verse 4, and the Lord answered and said unto them, You go show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. They saw all things that he did. But that's not all. They were eyewitnesses to his crucifixion, to his suffering, and to his death. They saw, they were with him in the garden when they came and arrested him. And they saw what was going on in Pilate's hall, how Peter denied him, that he knew the Lord. Turn back to the book of Acts, find the book of Acts chapter 3. We are witnesses of these things. In Acts chapter 3, verse 14, he said, You denied the Holy One, Acts 3, 14, and the Just One, and desired a murder to be granted unto you. Remember they said, Give us Barabbas, away with this man, crucify him. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Witnesses to what? To his substitutionary sacrifice. Now, I want you to find another place here. Find Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Acts 4, 33. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. Now, find Acts chapter 5, verse 33. Let's go back to verse 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sin. And we are witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. The point I'm making here, these men were true witnesses to all that he did, to his suffering and his death, his crucifixion as the sinner substitute, as the only satisfying sacrifice for our sins. Now, when it says here, whom they slew and whom they hanged upon the tree. When we preach, as Paul said, determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. When we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, it's not enough just to say that he died. In other words, like I was saying in the Bible study this morning, the whole gospel message is more than just Jesus died for our sins. There's a whole lot more to it. You're not preaching the gospel when you say only that Jesus died for our sins. It's how he died. It's who he is who has died. And what he accomplished when he died. He died for our sins according to the scriptures as the substitute, wounded and bruised for our iniquities. So when we say that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, we must declare what he accomplished when he died. It's just not that he died, although he did. What did he accomplish? That's what's involved when we declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died to redeem us. He died to put away our sin. He died to fulfill all scripture, to satisfy the law of God. Let me see if I can make good on that. Turn to Romans 3. Romans 3. Christ died according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, they did what God determined before to be done. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God set forth, ordained to be the propitiation, the atonement for our sin through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So when we preach that Christ died for our sin, according to Scripture, we preach the free, full justification of God's elect by the shedding of His blood. He redeemed us with His own blood alone. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Look there. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved through His life, saved by His life. Our Lord said, because I live, you shall live also. Can you do one more? Turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. You got it? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. You see, it's more than just saying Christ died for sinners. The gospel is much more than that, involved much more than that. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It goes on and on and on, till it says nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are witnesses of these things, Christ and Him crucified. But that's not all. We are witnesses, verse 40 of Acts 10, how God raised Him, God raised up the third day and showed Him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even us who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. They were eyewitnesses to His resurrection glory, delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. You remember our study from the book of Luke? Turn to Luke 24. Luke 24, they were eyewitnesses to His resurrection glory, His real body, a glorified body the Lord gave Him. In Luke 24, verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hand, my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, He said to them, do you have any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Oh, this is the real resurrected God-man mediator. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the psalm concerning me. He died for our sin according to the scripture. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." 61 times, I think it says, it uses that word scripture and scriptures, the holy writ, what it means. "And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things." Now that's what we do when we preach the gospel. We declare what we know. At least I try to. Pretty hard to tell what you don't know. I try to tell out what God has given to me. The whole gospel message: Him God raised up the third day and showed himself openly to the apostles, to the women. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 15, one time, 500 brethren at once saw the resurrected Lord. The whole gospel message stands or falls upon the fact of his resurrection. If Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, we have no salvation. We have no forgiveness. He proves himself to be an imposter. If he's not seated on the right hand of the throne of God, we have no salvation. When he by himself, the scriptures teach, when he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of God. He lived among men 40 days after his resurrection glory. And then one day the men walked outside the city and they watched him bodily ascend to heaven, to the throne of God, wherever that is. Wherever it is, the God-man mediator is seated upon it. And there he ever lives to make intercession for us. We pray in his name. We approach God in his name. God has given him a name which is above every name. At that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, if you look through all the messages that the apostles preached in the book of Acts, nearly every one of them mentions the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 37 times I counted, the apostles talked about the resurrection. You killed him. You killed the Prince of Life. God raised him from the dead. You crucified the Lord of glory. And then they didn't stop there. God raised him from the dead. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again because he justified us. That's our message. Verse 42, Acts 10, he commanded us to preach. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Paul from prison writes to Timothy and says, I charge you before God, who shall judge the living and the dead. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel in every season. He commanded us to preach the gospel unto the people. The gospel of God. He commanded us to preach Christ and him crucified. And to testify. To preach and to testify. That it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. He commanded us to go. And we go and we preach and we testify and we witness of his person and his work. We also declare that the Lord was ordained, or as it says, foreordained, before the foundation of the world. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And Peter says this in his epistle. He said, you are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days for us. He was ordained. He was ordained of God, foreordained, preordained, predestinated, to be conformed, we are to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's your judge. The Father judgeth no man, but committed all judgment unto the Son. Turn to Acts 17. Acts 17. Verse 31. God has appointed a day. You see it? Acts 31. It's appointed unto man who wants to die, and after that, judgment. Because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men that He raised Him from the dead. We are witnesses of His death. We declare Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We declare Jesus Christ risen from the dead as a victorious, conquering Savior. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We declare that He is the righteous judge. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, He will. Of the living and the dead, verse 43, to Him give all the prophets witness. All the prophets witness. What are they, the prophets of the past and the preachers of today? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll quit with this. How about Ephesians chapter 2? Let's find that. That'll work better on this point. Now, therefore, verse 19. You are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon, verse 20, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. What is the foundation of the apostles and the prophets? Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is a righteous judge of all. To Him give all the prophets witness that, back to the text, verse 43, that through His name, through His name, through His person and His work, through His name, no other name under heaven, remember, given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4:12, that through His name, whosoever believeth, doesn't matter who he is, Jew, Gentile, young, old, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, whosoever. My pastor used to say this. That's a wide word. I'm glad that he said whosoever, because that includes this whosoever. Whosoever. And a lot of people look at that word whosoever and think, well, that is promoting free willism. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever, what's the next word? Believeth. Whosoever believeth. How do you believe the gospel? The power of God. These folks here believe the gospel, it says in verse 44, because the Holy Ghost fell upon them which heard the word. Whosoever believeth in Him shall receive, and here's what we need, sin remitted. Blessed is that man, we read a moment ago, blessed is that man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He can't charge me with my sin. What? God can't punish my substitute for my sin and then turn around and punish me for the same sin. If He dealt with my substitute, there's no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive sin. Sin, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. Well, this story had a happy ending. You want to hear the rest of the story? Verse 44 and following. The Holy Ghost fell on these folks. The Holy Ghost fell on them like a powerful rock who crushed their heart, broke them. They heard the word of God. And the Holy Ghost, the gift, to declare what God had done to them, done for them and in them. And these believing Jews heard these believing Gentiles magnify God, being made a new creature in Christ, speaking things that they had never learned, how God saves sinners by His grace. And Peter declared, "Can any man forbid water baptism, seeing that they have received the Holy Ghost by the one Spirit? Are we all baptized into the one body?" Paul said, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Baptism does not save. Baptism is not essential to salvation. Baptism is simply an ordinance that God has given to His church for us as believers to identify with His death, burial, and resurrection. It does not put away sin. It does not put us into Christ. It does not regenerate us. It does not give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's simply an ordinance as the Lord has given us the Lord's table. The Lord's table. We're going to partake of the Lord's table in a minute. These elements have no saving power. The Lord said, "This do in remembrance of me." Baptism has no saving power. Salvation's of the Lord. We are baptized according to His command to publicly confess before men that His death, His burial, and His resurrection is all our hope. Same when we take the Lord's table. We're declaring that His broken body and His shed blood is all of our hope before God.